I'm holding a piece of cactus. Carefully, I might add. In just a second, I'll be taking this thorny green plant and turning it into delicious food. Right, Joel?
That's correct.
That's Joel Palacios. He's the owner and chef at Real Jalisco, a Mexican restaurant in Blue Springs. Joel, tell me about the role of cactus in Mexican food.
Cactus is a vegetable that we use to prepare, to join with different kinds of sauces, different kinds of meats, different kinds of way of cooking. And like you said, today we're going to be preparing some of the house specialties of our restaurant, Real Jalisco, that we use cactus of.
The cactus leaf that I'm holding here, do you call it a leaf?
Yes, pretty much, yes. It's it's also known by the prickly cactus.
It's about the size of a ping pong paddle. It's a really pretty shade of green. It's sturdy yet flexible, like something made of plastic, and there are prickly little thorns all over it. I've eaten cactus or nopales in Mexican restaurants, and I love it, but I have no idea how to handle this prickly produce in the kitchen. I'm KCUR's Gina Kaufman, and we're kicking off this Central Standard Food Show with a lesson on cooking with cactus. Soon, KCUR's food critics will join us for a roundup of the best Latin American restaurants in town. Okay, let's get this cooking class started. Joel Palacios, what are we going to make?
Okay, we're going to make one of our hot specialties, the pollo miraplanes. To start out, we're going to start cutting up the cactus by taking the thorns off. So you
can just grab them and rip them off?
Yep. No, you kind of grab them. Well, grab them on the side, and then with the knife, you just peel them off. But you just want to take the thorns off. You don't want to rip the cactus yet.
Okay.
So you just...
Yeah.
Kind of go like that.
So you're kind of shaving them off.
Shaving them off. So once you got them all shaved off, like so.
Yeah. So now it's kind of, you can see where the thorns once were. It's just like carved into a little bit.
They're carved into it, correct. So you want to just pretend that we're finished with them, or you just cut them all the way?
I would think need a really sharp knife for this. Otherwise, you'd be struggling.
Yes, you need a really sharp knife to do it. So let's say that we got both sides done already.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I got the other way.
So then you get the thorns off.
Get the thorns off. And then the sides are really hard to get. So basically, you just got to cut around it. Because the thorns are like really, really deep into the inside.
Around the edges.
Around the edges. So just with the knife, with the front of the knife, the point, you just got to cut them all off. And you got a
it
nice,
reminds me of
nice,
like working with clay or Play-Doh or something, just that you've got to slice around that
slice
edge.
Slice around it. Yeah, it's pretty fun too to cook with it, you know? But once you get a thorn like I did, it hurts.
Yeah. Do you wear gloves or something to protect? I mean, I guess that wouldn't really protect you. Gloves
are... No, unless you get one of some steel ones, they might. But okay, so there you go.
Who taught you how to cook with cactus?
Mom used to send us, when we were in Mexico, she used to send us and to grab cactus out of the actual cactus plant, the nopalera. And then she used to make different kind of cooking with it. She used to do egg with cactus and like a different kind of sauces with the cactus. It was pretty fun to be with Mom while she was cooking. Especially, this was not the fun part. Taking the thorns off, but eating it was delicious though.
So you're now peeling it kind of.
Peeling it, yes. So we got it peeled off. Then we're going to slice it in long strips.
So the outside is part of what you eat just once the thorns are removed. The
yes.
Thorns are the only part you don't eat?
The thorns, that's the only part that we don't eat. So you cut them up, you slice them, and then you slice them nice, and you got to boil them, because if you feel it, you see how it's like slimy?
Yeah, it is slimy. It's like okra.
Okra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then to cook them, to start preparing them, we're going to put them in water.
Okay.
And then on the water, we're going to put a little bit of, I don't know, it depends how many cactus leaves you're going to cook. Maybe for say something like for seven leaves, you do one full onion. You cut the onion in half.
Oh no, I'm going to cry.
Is that right?
It's okay.
Okay. Cut the onion in half, and then you throw them with your cactus. And then you throw some cilantro leaves with your cactus.
Uh-huh.
And then you start boiling. And then you just put water, water as much as you need, and salt as you think is going to be the right flavor for it.
So obviously we're not going to have the listeners wait while we boil water and everything. So we're going to switch to some pre-boiled cactus that you've brought in with you. But while we're getting the dish set up that you're going to make, can you maybe tell me about some of your memories cooking with cactus growing up? You said your mom taught you?
My mom, she used to cook for us, and that's where we got a lot of our recipes from our restaurant. For mom, and we definitely cook different items on our restaurant with cactus. We got different appetizers as well. You can join cactus with salads, with pretty much anything. It's a vegetable that you can add to anything you're cooking with.
Is cooking with cactus kind of specialized, or is it very common in a Mexican kitchen?
In Mexican kitchen, it's really popular to cook with cactus. Like I said, you can do it with any food you want, any kind of food you're cooking, you can join it with cactus and it will give a wonderful flavor.
So we've just removed the spines from our fresh cactus. We've peeled, cut, and cleaned it. What's next? And we've boiled it.
You boil it. Then once it's cooked, the cactus is really green as before you cook it. Once it's cooked, the cactus turns a little bit darker.
Yeah, so like one of these, the fresh cactus that hasn't been cooked, I would say it's the color of like a fresh green pea or like
green pepper,
early spring grass or something. And then this other color is, it's like what green beans are when they're cooked. That kind of dark green, sort of almost sea green color.
Correct. Okay, so we got the cactus already cooking, boiling. We got some cactus prepared ready here.
And we've got the electric skillet on in the studio.
Electric skillet is going. So should we start cooking in there?
Yeah, what are we making?
We're making a pollo miraplanes. Chicken breast cooked with fresh mushrooms, a little bit of fresh onions, and of course the cactus on a spicy green tomatillo sauce. So we're going to put a little bit of butter on our skillet to start cooking the chicken with. Oop. I'm going to start getting a little messy here.
So we're starting with butter.
Okay, is this on already? What happened to our skillet here?
I don't know, but we'll just keep... Oh, it's warm. Yeah,
it's getting there?
I feel it getting warm.
350, okay, we need it high. So let's go to 350, there you go.
Okay, now we're cooking.
Okay, so he's got to get the butter warm enough so we can start putting the chicken in there and start cooking the vegetables and then joining with the tomatillo sauce and the cactus.
So do you want...
That should be Charlie.
Okay.
Gonna stir up a little bit maybe.
And so tell me, is cactus used in other Latin American cuisines to your knowledge, or is it primarily Mexican?
I haven't seen cactus in different kind of on different other cuisines, but for sure in Mexican cuisines you can find it on different kind of cooks of meats and everything, and sauces. So
I picked up some cactus from a grocery store in KCK, but primarily when I'm in a grocery store, if I see cactus or nopales, it's canned. Is that like for home cooks, a lot of how people get around having to cut off the thorns and everything?
And they're delicious, but they're not compared to the ones that you're going to be cooking because they got that little prickle pear, like a little sour taste to them already because they're on the jar. But if you cook fresh, much better. That's how we do it, fresh.
Everything's sizzling, so we've got to add some ingredients to this sizzling butter.
Throw in some chicken. We got to cook the chicken first.
Alrighty. We're adding chicken to the butter.
There you go. So this is about 7-8 ounces of chicken breast. Cut up in little pieces. We're gonna have it there sit for a minute. It doesn't take much to start getting. We want the whole chicken to be on this side, this color.
Okay.
Turn white.
Yeah. Letting us know it's cooked all the way through.
Definitely. Have you had cactus before on different food yourself?
I have, but I've never been part of the preparation and how you go from the cactus that you see growing with its hard surface and its little spines to this soft, really soft, delicate vegetable has always been really mysterious to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to have seen this first part. And then also just, yeah, how much of what I'm tasting is the seasoning and how much of it is the vegetable itself has also been unclear.
You can try it without cooking and see what you think. It's not bad. You know, maybe taste one that is cooked already and one that is not.
Just so take I can a little taste bit. It when it's not cooked?
Yeah, but just take a little bit because it's going to be a little bit slimy.
It's got a sharp little, it's kind of got a little sharp sweetness to it. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know what to compare it to. It does remind me a little bit of like fresh peas that haven't been cooked.
Okay. And then the cooked one?
The cooked one, and that's not seasoned at all?
That only has a little bit of salt and that's it.
Because it has a lot more flavor when it's cooked.
Because the
it's kind of tangy.
The cilantro and the onion and the salt, it gives a flavor to it. So once it's cooked, all this, the, how would you say that? The
the meat, I guess, it gets, in a way, it, the slime.
It gets cooked, and then it gives that's what it gives the little sour flavor to it.
Yeah, it's very tangy, and yeah, tangy and sweet.
We're almost there.
So while the chicken's getting cooked, do you experiment, like, is this your own invented dish or is this a traditional dish that you grew up with?
This is a traditional dish that we grew up with. The tomatillo sauce is a traditional dish that we grew up with. So on our side, on our restaurant, we just added, you know, the mushrooms, the onions, and of course the cactus to give the flavor and be more authentic. And then the main dish, we usually join it with rice, beans, a little bit of pico de gallo, sour cream and guacamole. So you can play with it a little bit.
When you talk about authenticity, I mean, how do you define that when it comes to Mexican food?
Okay, like I said, Mexican food is all about lean, light, full of flavor, not too greasy, no cheesy or deep fried. That's our main concept in our restaurant. We're trying to be more authentic than Tex-Mex, like the hard shell tacos or burritos or chimichangas. To us, that's not Mexican food. Like homemade salsas, fresh vegetables, that's what we decide, that's what we identify being an authentic Mexican restaurant. Not being a Tex-Mex or, like I said, Americanized, maybe.
So
that's the word.
We've got some veggies and things to add.
We're adding some onions to the chicken breast.
Nice.
Then we're going to add a little bit of our mushrooms. There we go. A few mushrooms. And we're going to add the cactus. We're going to put a lot of cactus so everybody can try it.
Okay, good.
And you see how it's still cooked and it's still a little slimy?
Yeah, totally slimy, everyone.
But it's delicious. So we got it going here. I'm gonna set it there for a minute, have the onions and the mushrooms get cooked a little bit since the very cooked the cactus. Cover that up a little bit.
Yep, it's all cooking together now in a pretty colorful medley. It's mostly green and shades of white, but that cactus adds a really nice pop of color.
And you can add more vegetables to anything you want. You can add maybe carrots, green peppers, maybe some broccolis. We got different dishes that we add those kind of vegetables in there as well.
It's starting to smell really good in here. How would you describe the end flavor?
The end flavor, like a little spicy, a little bit sour. It makes your mouth watery once you try the first bite. You definitely. I will ask you that question when you try it. I tried it before.
So we're going to be pretty close to trying it.
Almost.
What do you think? What do you think that someone cooking with cactus for the first time needs to know?
Probably cook it the right way. Boil it the right way, and put the perfect amount of salt in it, and don't forget your onions and your cilantro in it, and then you can cook anything with it. Once you have it cooked, you can join it with a salad, or maybe your favorite food.
Well, we're gonna maybe have to try this off the air because it's about time to move on to our critics. But I promise you that I will put my comments about what it's like to try this on the website with your recipe. How about that?
Please do let us know, and everybody.
Because it smells great.
Yes, it does. And cactus should be almost ready. Food should be almost ready. You try it. Let us know.
Yeah.
And everybody try it. And thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you. Do you think this is an ingredient that people will be experimenting with more and more? Or do you think its main appeal has to do with, like, memories and nostalgia and things like that?
I think everybody should try it. I think it's going to stay for a while. And if you haven't tried it, try to cook it. Let's do it.
Well, when Central Standard returns, KCUR's food critics will be in session. Joel Palacios of Real Jalisco, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Join us at Real Jalisco in Blue Springs. Thank you.
Well, the food critics will be here shortly. They'll talk to us about Latin American food of all kinds that can be enjoyed here in Kansas City. We're hoping to hear about culinary stylings from El Salvador, Guatemala, Brazil, Peru, Colombia, and Mexico. Call in with your recommendations at 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman, about to try some delicious nopales. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Gina Kaufman, and now the food critics are here. The KCUR food critics are Charles Ferruza of The Pitch. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Gina.
And Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
And paying us a visit this morning is Carmen Gramajo of Comida KC. That's an annual Latin American food celebration here in town. It's nice to meet you, Carmen.
Thank you for having me.
You're from Guatemala, is that right?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been in Kansas City?
Oh, well, my journey in Kansas City started about 20 years ago. So I still go home every year. My family still lives in Guatemala, so I am from both places.
Have you seen Latin American food in Kansas City change in the 20 years you've been here? I mean, is there more available than there used to be?
For sure. You know, it's very, it's kind of interesting how we have grown as the Hispanic community or Latin American community. Now being part of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, it has definitely given us a completely different outreach to different areas and different groups from the Latin American culture here in Kansas City. It's unexpected what you will find now here in Kansas City, so it's great.
Where do you go in Kansas City for authentic Guatemalan food?
Okay, so there's a couple of places in town, but my favorite is called La Plaza. It's a little market in Independence. Doña Olga, who is also owner and the cook in the back, she does the best tamales, Guatemalan or Central American tamales, you can find here for the holidays.
Where is this restaurant located? La Plaza?
La Plaza, and it's right...
In Englewood Plaza.
Englewood Plaza. Thank you, Charles. Yes.
So in Independence.
Yeah, in Independence, Missouri. Yes.
Describe your favorite dish there in mouthwatering detail for us.
Okay. Okay. Chuchitos. So chuchitos is our version of what you will kind of know or seen as a Mexican tamale. It's small. It's wrapped in the corn husks, as well as they're filled with a red sauce with either chicken or beef. And we usually top it off with cremas, which is for us just the sour cream, which is a little bit more of a runnier and tangier kind of taste to it, and then top off with some queso fresco as well. And we usually eat it, it's kind of a snack, it's not even a meal, it's just a snack, but it's the size of a meal for sure.
What would you say distinguishes Guatemalan food and makes it unique?
You know, I think for all of Latin American food, we use a lot of our natural resources that we find in the area. So most of Latin American food is very common. We have our basics like the rice and beans. For all Central American, we usually use black beans. We also use a lot of plantains. Coffee is involved in some of the rubs and some of the spices, chiles. So we use a lot of the natural resources that we can find on a daily basis.
Is there a dish from Guatemala or elsewhere in Latin America that you have not been able to find on a menu in Kansas City, or an ingredient that you can't track down here?
Ooh, okay. So, you know, I think that for me, it's very important to have a specific brand when you're making like an authentic dish. And it's kind of hard sometimes to find refried beans from a specific brand in Guatemala here in Kansas City, which a couple of stores do have them occasionally. So you have to go whenever they have them. They know my name now, so they give me a ring. And if not, I just kind of randomly stop in to make sure that I can get my black beans.
Well, we spoke earlier with the proprietor of a Mexican restaurant, and Mexican food is probably the most familiar kind of Latin American cuisine in the United States, certainly in Kansas City. Wouldn't you say, critics?
Yes, and you know, and I think good old America has altered a lot of that cuisine too over the years. So it's almost as American as American.
No, I totally agree with Charles. I mean, it's pretty prolific, but like most ethnic foods that we have here in the Midwest, a lot of it just gets watered down to suit our tastes and not necessarily to be
authentic.
Yeah. And that word is overused as well. But you know,
talk to me about the overuse of that word.
Well, I mean, how can anything be authentic? This is America. This isn't Guatemala. You know, this isn't Brazil. This isn't. We can have people from there who come and represent the food, but unfortunately, I think it's as much our hangover as the consumer as it is the owner of the restaurant's hangover. In terms of, you know, I can go in as a foodie and say, I want the authentic dishes that you would make, just like you would make them at home, please. And they go, no, you don't want that. You really want this.
And that might also be not what they want to cook. I mean, on some level, authenticity means that they are a person also living here in the United States who's been influenced by all kinds of things, like including the passage of time.
Well, that's more fusion. You know, that's when they're taking their own home cuisine and kind of mashing it up with our own. You know, where I take issue is to say, no, really, I do want it exactly the way you eat it at home. Please make that for me. And have the supposition on both sides be, I'm open to your cuisine if you are willing to cook it for me and not some version of it that you think I want. So,
Carmen, what do you think about this?
Well, I'm kind of trying to understand that, and I get it, because I think, first of all, we won't get the same ingredients. Mm-hmm. So that's there right from the beginning. And you will have a change in flavor mm-hmm. from the ingredients that you're finding. And then you, as a restaurant owner, I'm just going to assume that you are wanting to make sure that you are going to sell your product.
Right. Makes, you know, and earn a living in this country doing your cuisine for sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are going to encourage people to branch out this morning, consider all kinds of Latin American food, because it's incredibly diverse and there are a lot of things to try if you haven't already. Call 816-235-2888 if you've got a favorite place to go for a regional specialty from Central or South America. That's 816-235-2888. And we've got a caller on the line. He's Jeff in the Old Northeast. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on the radio. I love this conversation. I wanted to chime in. There is a food truck, which I believe is either Ecuadorian or Peruvian, but it's called the Pupuseria Lupita, and it's a food truck on the corner of Independence Avenue and Hardesty, and it's incredible, and I wasn't sure where pupusas come from, and I was hoping you could help me out there.
Well, let's talk about pupusas. Thanks, Jeff. Can you tell us again the name and location of the place you're recommending before you go?
Yeah, it's called the Pupuseria Lupita. I think the business is actually called Lupita. It's a food truck on the corner of Independence Avenue and Hardesty. It's like across from the McDonald's, and there's a Walgreens there, and I think it's in the parking lot of like a check cashing place.
So, I know exactly where that is. Is it always there?
It's there most of the time. It seems they open at about 3 or 4, and they close right at midnight. But it's not uncommon to see, I'll go there at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and there'll be four or five families sitting there eating and having a great time.
Well, thanks, Jeff. What about pupusas? Where do they come from?
Actually, pupusas are originally from El Salvador, but we are such small countries in Central America that it's really a Central American dish anymore. You have pupuserias in every corner of Guatemala, El Salvador, and it's just a homemade tortilla. Our tortillas are not made by machines, they're handmade. So the masa, the cornmeal, it's formed into a puffy, round-size, you know, tortilla look-alike thing, but it's really thick, and it's filled with different things. Black beans, then you have chicharrón or just cheese. Loroco is very much also that is very traditional in pupusas, cheese and loroco. Loroco is a little Mayan flour that the Mayans used to believe that will go ahead and put you to sleep.
It works.
It does.
Is that something you can get here?
Once in a while, you will find little bags of loroco at the markets, yes. And stuff the pupusas with that, and then you will go ahead and put them again in the comal, which will be your top where you're going to be cooking them. But I think what makes a pupusa what it is not just the tortilla and the filling, is the topping. El curtido, which is actually a slaw.
Addictive.
Right? It's mm-hmm. delicious.
Addictive.
It's
totally addictive.
Vinegars and salts and spices and bay leaf, it goes into it. And literally, you just find the jars on the table. And you fix your own. They just bring you the hot pupusas, you put the curtido on top and a little bit of tomato red sauce, and it's delicious. That's a meal in itself.
Do any of us have the Salvadoran restaurant in downtown Overland Park on our lists?
I did not.
I've just forgot about it until you mentioned.
No,
they
you
have
know
wonderful
what?
Pupusas.
Actually, El Pulgarcito is my favorite pupusa place in town.
Let's talk about those. Where is El Pulgarcito?
El Pulgarcito is located in Johnson Drive, and it's just a little, you know, Salvadorian restaurant, but it also embraces the Central American flavor, so I think that's why it's very popular with at least our side of the world.
Jenny, what do you think about the pupusas at El Pulgarcito?
Well, I mean, they were the first place to kind of do them in Kansas City, at least the first place that I certainly ran across them. And I mean, it passed like wildfire through kind of the food-loving community. I mean, we all raced down there to have it. And it was the uniqueness of having the jar of that kind of fermented, lovely, tart cabbage slaw that you would put on this really hot, rich, filled, you know, kind of masa patty. And nobody'd really ever had anything like them. So it's just a little mom and pop place. In fact, I think it used to be a diner. It's got diner stools and all of that. So really cute.
But El Salvadoreño as well. They have some great pupusas. They're chicharron pupusas.
And I think
delicious. That's
on the main drag of downtown Overland Park.
That is a good place. I forget about that place.
And they have the jars of the slaw, which I think it also has carrot in it as well.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Has carrot and cabbage, and it's just, you know, bay leaves. You will see the thick bay leaves in it because it has the flavor. It's just part of it.
And I love that combination of the vinegary and tart and slightly sour slaw with the spiciness of the meat. It's a great contrast.
And just hot, you know, hot melted cheese. It just combines very nicely. The masa will absorb all that, you know, liquid from the cabbage. So it just kind of transpires into the filling.
If we keep talking about pupusas, I am going to have to eat one. So let's switch gears.
My mouth is watering for sure.
I know, me too. Oh.
Jenny, you are recommending a food truck that specializes in Cuban food.
Right. So I had the opportunity to judge a food truck festival not that long ago, and these guys were involved. It's the Plantain District Food Truck, and it's Cuban. And I know that their commercial kitchen's out of North KC, and they've been parking recently, you know, part of the whole kerfuffle about the North KC food truck lot out there. They have been parking out there, but they do an amazing Cuban sandwich, which is on kind of what I'll call authentic Cuban bread that they use, obviously roasted pork. It's got ham, it's got yellow mustard, it's got pickles, it's got Swiss cheese, and then it's all griddled until that bread is really, really crispy and the cheese is kind of melty. I mean, it's this wonderful, you know, version of a ham and cheese, if you will. And then they also serve it with plantain chips, which are fried really crispy, and then they season. They have a special seasoning mix that they put on there. And that was arguably one of the best things I had at the Food Truck Festival. I think that they do a really good job with their Cubans.
Talk to me about Cuban food in the United States. I'm curious about it because I went to Cuba about a year ago, and the food there was really not very similar to what gets dubbed Cuban here in the United States. I mean, it was, first of all, just for starters, not in the least bit spicy. Carmen, can you...
You know, I think that's just all around Latin American food. We are right. not used to using to eating spicy food. We will add chile if you prefer it, but right. it's not part of the cooking process of our foods. And I think that's where some of the translation has changed for Americans on Latin food. We have put in the United States what we think the Americans would like.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of the peanut butter effect of the Mexican food that we're so used to kind of being spread across, I think, most of the Latin American countries. But if you think about it, most of the Latin American countries were actually have European influences. And so much of the food really speaks to that European heritage, which is not a spicy cuisine.
Well, plantains, you mentioned that the Cuban sandwiches at this food truck come with plantains. Where do you recommend otherwise getting plantains in Kansas City? Does anyone else do a good plantain?
Yes, and I'm trying to think where. I've had
them soft and crisp. And
El Portón has some good plantains.
El Portón, that's
yes,
exactly
sure.
where, yeah.
They have some great Puerto Rican dishes, which plantains is very traditional Puerto Rican dishes, and they have some really good plantain chips.
Charles, tell us about El Portón. That's on your list.
I think it's on all of our lists, and it's a great place. Jose Garcia, I believe is the owner's name, he used to have a little Venezuelan restaurant in Kansas City, Kansas. And I want to say maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he opened a much more glamorous, not expensive, but glamorous compared to Venezuelan cafe. And it's hard to kind of find a location. I want to say it's 103rd and Row. Am I?
It's kind of across. It's behind Brobeck's
Barbecue.
So if anybody knows where that's at. And then it's kind of across the street from Suburban Lawn and Garden is how I remember it.
But it's interesting in the sense that he has dishes from Guatemala, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. If you want to go and experiment with the different cuisines of specific countries, he has them.
Or see a Royals player. Lots and lots of Royals
players. I think
it's players.
That Caribbean influence yeah. that he's mm-hmm. looking for from all those South American countries. So a little bit of Caribbean flavor to it.
And this is called El Portón Café?
Yes, it
si.
Is.
Okay.
Let's talk to Otavio, who's called us at 816-235-2888. He's calling from Lenexa. Hi, Otavio.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What are you recommending today?
Well, it's always helped to being a Brazilian and being married to the food editor of the Star, so I always have some plugins. The Café Brasil and Taste of Brazil are the first ones that come to my mind in terms of Brazilian food. They are very authentic Brazilian foods. Of course, the Taste of Brazil at the River Market, they have more variety with sandwiches and of course, they always thought that Brazilian dumplings, the coxinhas, the empadinhas, that is the mini.
Otavio, you are recommending a lot of different dishes. Are you from Brazil?
I am. I am native of Brazil. And I'm very used to cooking, too, because we have the ethnic festival. If anybody wants a real treat of Latin American or any type of food, the third weekend of the year, every year at the Soul Park, the festival brings that. But the Brazilian food, and it's used to be very rare in Kansas City. Now there is kind of a hooray of a Brazilian restaurant in town, and a new churrascaria, Espírito do Sul, is coming up.
Well, Otavio, so, I'm going to turn to our critics to respond to some of what you've shared with us, but thank you so much for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Jenny Vergara, you have recommended one of Otavio's recommendations as well.
Right. So I should confess right now that my last name being Vergara, I was married for 15 years to a Brazilian man who is the father of Tasty, my son, not his real name.
So
Taste of Brazil is certainly on my list. I learned to cook Brazilian cuisine quite well during that time. And I love these guys in the City Market. You know, they have more of a casual kind of snack stand, but they're really adding some new features. One of the things I think is great there is their mortadella sandwich, which is very traditional to Brazil. They have pão de queijo, which is like a Brazilian cheese bread, which is more of a snack food or on the beach or whatever.
They're the most delicious thing. I had those for the first time at M. Chamas.
Yeah, Yeah, they're fantastic.
Explain a little more what they are, because when you say cheese bread, what I imagine when I hear those words is not what I have seen. I haven't tasted this dish, but yeah. it does not resemble, you know, like it's not like what you would get when you get cheese bread at a pizza place.
Right. So they're traditionally made with cassava flour, which can be either sour or sweet. And traditionally, you would make it with the sour cassava. Tapioca flour is also a nice substitute if you can't find it. But they're basically little round, kind of crunchy on the outside, but they're really chewy and cheesy. Parmesan cheese is typically used here in the States to make them. There's a special kind of cheese in Brazil you would use if you were in Brazil. But they're like little snack balls. And it's the crunch on the outside and just the soft kind of chewiness of the tapioca or the cassava on the inside that just make them so unique.
And Charles, you mentioned that you'd recommend Enchamas.
Enchamas is a Brazilian style steakhouse. There's a name for
it? Churrascaria.
Exactly. And Enchamas was the first in the city before the chain place on the mm-hmm. plaza, which is also quite good, actually.
It is good.
And I guess there's a lot of good beef in Brazil because, you know, they serve the lots of steak and beef kind of things. But I wanted to mention, Gina, that was because of your show earlier in the year, and Jill Silva and I were both on it, and I think it was about candies or sweets or something, that I found was first introduced to the idea of the brigadeiro. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct.
And it's that candy Jill was talking about that's, you know, very, I guess, exclusive to Brazil. Taste of Brazil has the best I have ever tasted. But you can it's perfect candy for me because you have one and you don't need candy again for the next 15 years. They're so rich.
It's very, very sweet. But it's hugely traditional. You should have seen my baby shower. I mean, tons, platters of them, platters.
If you've got a place you like to go for brigadeiros, Cuban sandwiches, pupusas, or a Latin American food we haven't discussed yet, call 816-235-2888 to be sure it makes our list of best Latin American restaurants in Kansas City. That number again is 816-235-2888. And since Charles brought up brigadeiros, we haven't talked a lot about desserts. Where do you go for a great Latin American dessert or baked good of any kind?
Actually, there is a little bakery on Southwest Boulevard, Panadería Centroamericana. It's a Central American bakery specifically. They make outstanding sweets, from sweet bread for your morning coffee to actually tres leches. They're tres leches, and they actually have them in little single portions, and you can get the big ones. I mean, you can order your entire cake of tres leches. It is to die for.
And that's on Southwest Boulevard?
It's on Southwest Boulevard.
It's awesome.
It's just right. It's Panadería Centroamericana. Right next door to it is actually Tropicana, which is another place for, you know, just ice creams and sweets. And Fresas con Crema is one of my niece's favorites, and it's actually cut up strawberries with sour cream and sugar.
At Tropicana.
So,
a lot
yes.
of people know that as a paletaria or popsicle place.
Yes, yes. But they have so much more than just that. I mean, they have also savory dishes. Their strawberries is one of, like I said, one of our family's favorites. And then, but the sweets, I will go to the bakery, the Centroamericana, for sure.
Any other Latin American sweets we want to direct people to in Kansas City?
You know what I like about Panadería Centroamericana? They're regional as well. So you will find Mexican bread, you will find Guatemalan bread, you will find Salvadorian. So they do cater a lot to the Central American community needs of their sweets.
This all sounds so good. We have to take a short break, but we'll get more recommendations for Latin American food in and around Kansas City in just a minute. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation with a tip of your own or for help finding a dish you haven't been able to track down. I'm Gina Kaufman. Central Standard will be right back on KCUR. Good morning again, food critics.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and this is Central Standard. I'm here with KCUR's food critics, Charles Ferruza of The Pitch, Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, joined today by Carmen Gramajo of Comida KC. We're talking about Latin American cuisine here in Kansas City, and earlier in the show, we spoke with Joel Palacios of Real Jalisco, a restaurant in Blue Springs. The two of us together, but mostly Joel, made some cactus with chicken and a tomatillo sauce, and he has brought the finished result into the studio over the break, and all of us have tried it. there was a chorus of people saying the word delicious, I believe.
That's a good word.
Yeah. Jenny, what's your review?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it's delicious. And the thing for me is it's the vinegar and the spice that's in it. So the tomatillo sauce that he has is perfectly spiced. And it's just that little touch of vinegar just puts it over the top for me.
Carmen?
Just with like Jenny said, you know, the vinegar, there's something about vinegar that it makes it addictive and it's just delicious. His nopales are soft but still firm enough that you can have a crunch to them that just makes the dish perfect.
You can tell it's fresh.
Yes, it is, definitely.
Charles?
I haven't tasted it yet.
Charles is saving his for later. Okay, well, what about Mexican food? Where do you guys recommend going for Mexican food?
So I have a Mexican place on my list, but it's not a traditional Mexican place. I was kind of trying to steer away. I was afraid that, you know, we would spend a lot of time talking about Mexican because it's so prevalent here in Kansas City. But I have Jarocho on my list, which is a little place in KCK, and it's basically a seafood restaurant and exclusively seafood. In fact, the chef, Carlos Falcon, is from Veracruz, Mexico. So what I love about his place is that if he's not busy, if you can catch him, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, he sells oysters like nobody's business. But if you can catch him on a Wednesday, a little bit of a slower day for him, and just pretty much put yourself in his hands, he will bring out the most amazing fresh seafood dishes I've had. Grilled baby octopus, whole red snapper that's been grilled and stuffed with fresh herbs.
Do they have ceviche?
Oh, yeah.
Yum. Yeah. Okay, so name and location of that restaurant again?
Yeah, so it's Jarocho, and it's basically in KCK right on Kansas Avenue. You can't miss it. It's very colorful.
You can't miss it. Famous last words.
I know.
Carmen, any Mexican restaurants on your list?
You know, you can go from like the mom and pop's restaurants. I love Teocalli. Teocalli, right up here by UMKC.
On Hospital Hill?
Yes. Yeah. Enrique does a great job. Actually, Enrique's mom, I should say.
Yeah, she's the cook.
She is the cook.
Yeah.
And it's just a great representation of good flavors. And you might be getting a burrito, but it has that flavor from really your traditional spices and traditional just flavors that you want to put in and not just with a whole bunch of cheese on top of it to cover everything else and no flavor at all.
My favorite Mexican restaurant in Kansas City is El Patron on Southwest Boulevard. It's very good. I love the owners. It can get very, very crowded very, very fast.
He does great margaritas, too.
Yes, I agree with that.
And, you know, it's Tex-Mexy a bit, but, you know, everything's done quality, done with high quality, and it's a fun place to go to.
Well, let's talk to some of our callers. We've got Sylvia in Independence on the line. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, great. How about you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. There is a Mexican restaurant in Independence, Missouri, All Mexico Restaurant. And I know the owners are from Bolivia. Even though the restaurant has, it is named All Mexico and serve Mexican food, they do have some Bolivian dishes, and they are very good.
What are the Bolivian dishes on that menu?
The Bolivian dishes, one is pique a lo macho, and pique a lo macho is a dish that is served in Bolivia after you've been drinking. Usually men that they've been drinking, it has jalapenos, sausage and fried potatoes and the beef, and on top of it has onions, tomatoes, and jalapenos. It is very good. The other dish is silpancho. It is a fried, very thin meat with eggs and rice and potatoes and what we call pico de gallo in here. It is very good, too. You know, the Bolivians, they don't eat eggs for breakfast. It's mostly for our main meals. And if you talk to the owner, my family had several parties in there, and whatever you request, they will cook, and they will cook it, and it is really good. So if you never tasted Bolivian food, that is a place to go and to request to eat there.
What is the name of the restaurant again?
It is Old Mexico Restaurant in Independence.
All right. Thanks so much, Sylvia, for that recommendation of Old Mexico to get authentic Bolivian food, which is unexpected and exciting. Let's turn also to Cheryl in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I have a question. Where can I find good vegetarian Latin American food beyond the traditional, you know, peas and saladas? I'd like to branch out, but I'm always a little cautious because the beans might be cooked in meat or...
Cheryl.
So I'm looking for recommendations.
I've got to jump in because that sound quality is not great. She was asking about vegetarian food. She'd like to try things branching out between past the cheese and beans and all of that, and doesn't know where to seek that out. It sounds like she also has a concern about the oil not having also been used to cook meat.
Well, a lot of the beans and stuff are cooked in lard, so that's a concern. I would steer her toward more vegetarian and vegan style restaurants. Food over on...
Food with an umlaut,
Or Eden Alley, both do occasionally and mostly always seem to have some sort of kind of Mexican-based dish on their menu.
Well, that does gratitude great. Sometimes will depends on what ingredients they have. So yeah, I don't think that she will find what she's looking for in any of the Latin American restaurants that we have been recommending, as the flavor comes from a lot of those needs to use the lard.
But that does bring up that in American cuisine today, people have pretty much, I mean, the word fusion has kind of gone out of favor because it's becoming kind of the norm to you to draw from influences all over the place. And I'm wondering if you're seeing interesting and noteworthy spins on Latin American cuisine in restaurants that don't necessarily specialize in those regional foods.
You know, I have, we had an experience in comida with El Tenedor. El Tenedor is actually a catering company as well as a food truck, and it's Spanish. And when you think about Latin America, you're not thinking Spanish food because it will be European. But as we spoke earlier in the show, that's our roots. Our spices, our cuisine comes from Spain. And Chef Carmen does an amazing job with the paella. For comida, she had paella rice balls, and they were infused with lobster cream.
Wow.
Outstanding.
Wow.
She's awesome. She really is.
She's so creative.
Very talented.
Where is El Tenedor?
El Tenedor is actually a food truck, unless you're having her as your catering company, and you have to follow her on Facebook to find out where she's going to be at.
Very good.
So that's El Tenedor. Anyone else doing something with Latin American cuisine, though someone who isn't necessarily identified as a Latin American chef?
I will also go with a chef... I am losing my mind here right now. He is our, can you help me here?
Yes.
I'm looking for Chef Michael Smith.
There we go.
I'm sorry, Chef Michael Smith. You know, his restaurant.
That's actually a good thought. Yes. I don't know that I would traditionally think of him as Spanish, but an awful lot of his extra virgin menus are influenced.
Mostly Latin American. And he brings a great flavor also not only to comida, but to his restaurant with tapas. And they're not just... Not just Spanish traditional tapas. He actually represented last year a Latin American country. So he was, I believe it would have been Colombia. I don't have him on my list here right now. Yes, I do. And he was actually did not do traditional Spanish food. And I do have him here. He did Argentina. Colombia. He did do Colombia last year, which was pretty good.
Well, interesting. I want to jump in and make sure we get to empanadas because there's a place that's on a few of these lists here, Empanada Madness. It's gotten a lot of attention lately for this phenomenon of Royals players being enthusiastic about it. But they have on their menu empanadas and other dishes from many different cultures in Central and South America. Tell me about Empanada Madness, and maybe we can get into some of the differences if there's time.
Well, am I correct? I mean, I like that place a lot. Isn't it all handheld food, like empanadas and...
I think they do a couple of entrees. I think they have a handful of entrees. But for the most part, it is more of snack food. And I think that's what we're attracted to as Americans is the...
Snack shacks.
Describe an empanada for someone who maybe hasn't tried one yet.
Well, an empanada will be like a pastry, though, and it depends on how they are filled as well. You can have savory empanadas or sweet empanadas. Usually the most common ones that you will see in Latin America will be ground beef. You have some peas, some carrots, and just like a pastry filled.
Charles, what do you like to get at Empanada Madness?
Everything.
Anyone?
And I have.
Anyone have any specific recommendations there?
Oh, well, you have to get the empanada. I mean, it's in the name. You have to get it. But everything on the menu is really, really solid. They do a nice job with their arepas as well.
Arepas. And we haven't even discussed those, but we'll have all of our recommendations online. It'll be our definitive list of best Latin American restaurants in Kansas City up on our website, along with Joel Palacio's cactus recipe that got rave reviews from our critics. The conversation can also continue on our Twitter feed. We're at KCURCST. Charles Frouza of The Pitch, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Feast Magazine's Jenny Vergara, this has been fun.
My pleasure.
And Carmen Gramajo, I really appreciate your joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
You can listen back to this show at kcur.org/Central Standard. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, with Fridays Like Today by Jen Chen. We get lots of help from Suzanne Hogan, Andrea Tudhope, and intern Kyle Smith. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs right here in Kansas City. I'm your host, Gina Kaufman, signing off. Have a great weekend.